right, ready to flex those brain cells.
Yeah.
Today we're diving deep into perverse incentives.
Oh, love this
Right.
topic.
It's like you try to fix something, but just make it worse.
Yeah. Happens all the time, but on like a bigger scale.
Exactly. And sometimes it's hilarious.
Yeah.
In retrospect, we're using the Wikipedia article on perverse incentive. So let's unravel it together.
Yeah. Like the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but with economics.
Ooh, I like that.
Like a solution can totally backfire, create more problems than it solved.
Okay, so before the nitty-gritty, gotta set the stage.
Yeah.
The OG perverse incentive, the Cobra effect.
Oh, classic.
During British rule in India, cobra problem. So what do? Offer a bounty for every dead cobra. Sounds logical.
Right, like get rid of them, problem solved.
Right. But here's where it gets fun. People, being clever, saw a business opportunity.
Yeah, classic human ingenuity.
Started breeding cobras. Not hunting wild ones, just breeding them.
Cashing in on those bounties.
Yeah.
Smart.
Until the government was like, wait a minute. They scrapped the bounty. So those cobra breeders, stuck with all these snakes, no more payouts,
Oh.
released them back into the wild.
Oh, boom! Cobra population explodes.
Yeah. It's such a good illustration of how a solution can have totally unintended consequences.
It's not just about the desired outcome. You have to think about manipulation.
Speaking of unintended consequences, let's go to Vietnam, early 1900s. The Great Hanoi Rat Massacre.
Oh, this one's good.
French colonial authorities, they thought they were being clever,
Yeah.
right? They offered a bounty for every rat tail.
Makes sense on the
Get rid
surface.
of the rats, but
Well, people found a loophole, of course.
always do, right?
They started cutting off the tails, letting the rats go. They were free to just breed more.
Oh no.
Some even bred rats for their tails.
So instead of less rats, they fueled a rat tail industry. It's kind of funny, but it makes a point. We need to think about how people react to the incentives we create.
It's like chess. You gotta think many moves ahead.
Totally. And even with good intentions, we miss things. Like the UN's carbon credit program,
Uh-oh.
meant to reduce greenhouse gases, but it made companies produce this harmful refrigerant.
HFC-23, yeah. Just so they could destroy it for credits.
So they increased the production of the thing they were trying to get rid of?
Shows how even good environmental policies can backfire if they're not airtight.
It's not just about greed. It's about systems, regulations, and how people behave.
It's all connected,
Yeah.
then often unpredictable.
Right. Speaking of regulations, let's talk about community safety. Lots of examples where good intentions went wrong.
Yep.
Gun buyback programs, for example.
Bent to get weapons off the streets.
Good idea, right?
But some saw a chance to make money. They 3D printed gun parts just to turn them in.
Wow.
So maybe the solution is addressing the root causes of gun violence, not just reducing the number of guns.
Nuance, right? Not just a quick fix.
Exactly. And sometimes simple regulations can have unintended consequences. Think about the sesame allergy law, meant to protect people with allergies. But companies just started adding sesame to everything.
To avoid separate production lines, right?
Yep. So now there's more sesame, potentially making it worse for people with allergies.
Solving one problem, creating another. Classic.
It's not just physical harm. Sometimes these incentives affect social systems and how people act, like mandatory child abuse reporting laws in Canada.
Okay, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Protecting children.
Yeah. But the problem is, it might lead to too many reports and a chilling effect. Like, professionals hesitate to share information. They don't want to be accused of not reporting everything.
So it could hinder early intervention.
Exactly. It's about balance, weighing the good against the potential bad.
Yeah, tricky. And we see that theme popping up again and again.
Totally.
Let's see what other interesting examples we can find. What's next?
Up next, environmental and wildlife protection. This is where it gets really interesting. You'd think protecting endangered species would be simple, right? But even there, we've got those perverse incentives. Let's talk about the Endangered Species Act in the US.
It's supposed to protect them, so how could it backfire?
Okay, imagine you're a landowner, right?
Yeah.
You find an endangered species on your property.
Oh.
Suddenly, all these restrictions on how you can use your land.
Yeah, I can see how some people might want to discourage those species from being there.
Exactly. Instead of attracting them, some landowners just clear their land,
Yeah.
destroy habitats even, just to avoid those restrictions.
It's like a weird game of keep away with endangered species. Speaking of weird games, remember the whole carbon credit thing with HFC-23? That wasn't the only time those initiatives accidentally caused harm.
Oh, yeah. The UK's renewable heat incentive, perfect example.
What happened there?
It was meant to, like, encourage businesses to use renewable energy for heating.
Right.
But, well, some businesses figured out they could profit by burning a ton of fuel.
So they were, what, being paid to pollute?
Pretty much.
It's amazing how money can, like, twist things. Mm-hmm. Makes you wonder if we're just hardwired to game the system.
It's not always about being bad, though. It's just how we react to incentives.
Right.
Trying to get the most out of it, whether it's money or convenience.
Avoiding a loss, even. So it's about how we see the rules and how we respond to them. Speaking of rules, let's talk about historical preservation. Trying to protect the past can sometimes destroy it.
Yeah, the UK, for example, they have all these regulations to preserve historic buildings.
Okay.
Good idea, but it created a weird incentive.
How so?
If your building is historically significant, you can't really do much to it. No renovations, no development. So some owners, they'd rather destroy those historical parts before the building gets listed.
To avoid the restrictions.
Exactly. It's a paradox, right? Destroy history to preserve your freedom. And sometimes it's not even about that. It's the financial incentives themselves. There was this case in Bristol. A building owner, he destroyed this 400-year-old ceiling right before the building could be assessed for listing.
Wow.
Sad, right? Culture and history becoming collateral damage.
Let's talk about something a bit more fun. Open source software.
Yeah.
That's all about, you know, community working together.
Right.
Surely no perverse incentives there.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Even the best intentions can go wrong. Take Hacktoberfest, for example.
Yeah, I've heard of that. It's like a big online festival for developers.
Exactly. But they offered these free t-shirts to anyone who contributed code.
Oh, boy.
So what happened? People started submitting all this low-quality code.
Just to get the t-shirt.
Yep. They wanted to encourage participation, but they ended up rewarding quantity over quality.
So even in the digital world, these incentives matter.
Totally. Change the reward and people change their behavior.
Oh, and speaking of the changing behavior, what about that online retailer? The one who was rude to customers on purpose?
Oh, yeah. Decormize.
He figured out that bad reviews helped his website.
Yeah. It's crazy. He started insulting customers, threatening them even, just for publicity.
It worked, though.
It did. Shows how online reviews can be manipulated.
We got to be careful what we believe online.
For sure. Now let's switch gears. Talk about humanitarian aid and welfare.
Okay. These are areas where you really hope to see good outcomes, right?
You would think so, but good intentions don't always lead to good results. Like Canada's Safe Third Country Agreement with the U.S., it was supposed to make things easier for asylum seekers.
What happened?
Well, it basically encouraged people to enter Canada illegally, to avoid being turned away at the border.
So they just bypass the system.
Exactly. And then there's the whole welfare crap debate about whether generous welfare benefits can discourage people from working.
So they're better off staying on welfare.
That's the idea, but it's complicated. Some say it creates a disincentive to work. Others say it's about systemic barriers like lack of education or childcare. Tough issue.
Yeah, for sure. And sometimes even simple tasks can be messed up by these perverse incentives, like paying people for their effort, or rather paying them for the appearance of effort.
Oh, yeah. Some classic examples there, like that paleontologist who paid people for pieces of hominin skulls. He ended up incentivizing them to break up complete skulls just to get more money.
Wow. Or how about that railroad company that built a ridiculously long route just to get paid more per mile? Crazy.
It shows how the way we structure rewards really shapes behavior. Focus on quantity over quality. You get what you pay for, sometimes literally. So the big question is, what can we do about all of this? How do we design systems that actually work?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
How do we avoid these unintended consequences?
That's the tough part. It's like, how do we make sure our good intentions don't backfire?
Right, right. It's like, how do we not accidentally create a whole bunch more problems?
Exactly. It's not easy. But the first step is just being aware of it, knowing that these perverse incentives exist.
So we can spot them, right? Like before they trip us up.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can start thinking, okay, what are the potential loopholes here? How could someone take advantage of this?
It's like thinking like the bad guy almost. Like trying to outsmart them before they even start.
Kinda, yeah. You have to put yourself in their shoes, and then you can design a system that's harder to exploit.
So it's not just about solving the problem, it's about solving it in the right way.
Mm.
And sometimes, honestly, I think it's about admitting that we don't know everything.
Oh, for sure. Humility is important. We're gonna make mistakes, but we can learn from them.
and change course when we need to. So
Mm-hmm.
maybe the next time we see a solution that seems perfect, we should pause.
Yeah. Take a step back and say, okay, what could go wrong here?
Is this going to cause a whole new set of problems?
Exactly. We have to remember that the world is complicated. Our actions can have consequences that we didn't even think about.
It's like a chain reaction almost. One thing leads to another and then another.
Yeah. But the good news is, if we're aware of that, we can try to anticipate those consequences and maybe head them off at the pass.
So it's about being thoughtful, being careful, and being willing to adapt.
Totally. And that goes for everything, really. Not just policies and stuff, but business decisions, even just everyday choices. If we understand these perverse incentives, we can make better decisions overall.
It's about recognizing that things are interconnected and that our choices have ripple effects.
Yep. But if we approach things with, like, a critical eye, we can avoid some of those unintended consequences.
And hopefully make the world a little bit better in the process.
Absolutely. Less chaos, more progress. That's the goal.
Well said. This has been a fascinating deep dive, to say the least. Thanks for sharing your insights with us.
My pleasure. It's always fun to explore these topics.
And for our listeners, stay curious out there. Keep learning, keep questioning, and watch out for those cobra effects. They can be lurking anywhere.